We want to welcome you to the New Song Podcast, coming to you from beautiful Colorado Springs. We love receiving your prayer requests and comments at newsongcs.com. Thanks for listening as Pastor Stephen Hibden shares an encouraging word of God's love.
Lord, we pray that you will be exalted and lifted up. We pray for the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. We pray for the great physician, the great healer, the great God who has created all things, who spoke the universe into existence, who spoke us into existence. Lord God, there is nothing impossible for you, Lord Jesus. Heal them, Lord God. Lord, recreate within them, Lord, a new spirit, and recreate, Lord God, a healing in their physical bodies. And we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor.
Heavy. Because and I wouldn't want to start the service with this, or my message with this, but I'm going to anyways. Hypocrites. Oh, come on now. Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you? This is Jesus talking. He did a good job talking when he said, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." That's not my text today, but I just want to start there to get your attention in case you feel self-righteous or religious or you like you got things together, because we really don't, because often our lips might say the right thing. You might have just got done worshiping and saying all the right things, and sometimes our hearts are so far from where they need to be. Jesus' heart in saying this was not to make us feel bad. His heart is that we be alive. His heart is that we don't live dead lives. His heart is that we overflow with fruitfulness. But to overflow with fruitfulness, our hearts need to be in the right place. I said just a minute ago, the key, this is what we talked about last week. It's all in one big sentence. Try to grasp it. Maybe it's not deep for you, but it's deep for me, okay? A key to a life fully alive and overflowing with fruit is your selfless and joyful posture in giving, in serving, and living. Your posture might be that of your lips are speaking it, but your heart is not there. Your posture might be that I want to be there, but I'm not there. And instead of living a life that's alive, that's fruit is coming out everywhere I go, my life just seems kind of dead, and I don't know what's going on. Jesus knew how to do it right. Take his example. When he lived his life, obviously he was fruitful. Obviously he was joyful. Obviously he was selfless and giving and serving others. But it was because he always took the credit for himself. No, thank you. He didn't take the credit for himself. He always gave it back to his Father in heaven. We don't understand it completely, the Trinity. I don't pretend to understand it. But he never took the credit for himself. And often we try to, we just take it for ourselves. We need to pass it back on that our life constantly is worship. Our life is constantly about serving. Our life is constantly about giving to others. When we think it's a religious sleight of hand that we're tricking God, we're tricking him, like, but with our life, because we did this and this that was good for him, so he's probably just, we got a free pass, and then we do this and this that's not right. We expect to be fruitful still. Our tree expects to be fruitful, and it was, watch this, God, and I'm going to do this real quick. And it doesn't even have to be terrible what we did, but it could be dishonoring to him. You're going to walk not like this. You're going to walk dead because you got to be always about him. You have to always, you have to be real. You have to be authentic. I call it a green edge. You don't want to lose your green edge. We have some, I'm trying to paint a picture here. We got an atrium out here. Perfect illustration. Here it is, folks. This atrium is full of jungle plants. It's full of tropical plants, right? We had a cold spell in Colorado. I don't know if you know that sometimes it gets cold here, but, you know. And what it did to the plants' edges of the the green leaves is it caused them to have brown edges. And the edges of some of them not only turned brown on the edges, but the whole leaf turned brown. And what we had to do, this is not going to apply all of this, just this part. We had to cut some of them, but you had to wait to cut them because if you cut them too early, we had to wait till the cold stops. Now, I know we'll have more cold, but the garden people told us we can cut them now. So I don't know if that means that we're going to have a warm rest of the spring or not, but they said we could cut them now. The thing was, now let me get back to the thing. That's why a lot of the leaves are cut off. But some of them just had brown edges. That meant that they didn't kill the leaf. It didn't even kill the root. The root was still fine. But ironically, right in the middle of all this church life, these plants still deal with the elements around them. And it caused them to turn brown. And we do the same. Jesus compares us a lot. A lot of times the Bible compares us as trees. It compares us as plants. It compares us, we'll get into it in John 15 in a minute. But right in the middle of all the church life, they turn brown. And I would venture to say that we will do the same at times when we fake it, when we aren't connected to Jesus, when we're trying to live alive, yet doing this, this, and this, and wondering why we're not seeing fruit in our lives. You could also call this, I call it a brown edge believer. You could call it a dead believer. You could call it a fruitless believer. Who wants to be a fruitless believer? No. You could call it a dying believer. Brown edge believers don't live with the fruit of the Spirit in their life. I could spell it out a little bit more if you're not sure if you're a brown edge believer. They are easily angered. They are repeatedly upset. They are often depressed. They are occasionally insecure. If you're wondering if you sometimes have a brown edge about you and not as green as you need to be, they are usually, I don't know if usually, maybe occasionally this too, these are the side effects of a brown edge believer, burnt out, out of energy. If I was to ask one of them if they had a brown edge, if I would ask them to pray for the sick or pray for someone, could you minister to this person? Would you mind prophesying to this person for me? Because I'm in the middle of a sermon. Could you do this? Some of you would say, no, not me. Why not? You're connected to Jesus. You're connected to the life giver. You should have life coming out of you. Well, maybe because we're not connected. If I was to ask you right now, I won't do it to you, would you minister to us right now? What is the Lord saying at this point? Now, that would might be a little bit unfair, but that might be a proof that your life has a brown edge to it right now. It's not ready to give life. Now, when you are full of God, right, and you're full of the Holy Spirit, and if I was to ask you to share, you would be like, yes, I want to share right now. I want to, because it'll come out of you. It's called fruit. I remember a pastor, his name was Ralph Torres. I was sitting in the back at a summer camp, and he goes, what's the Lord speaking to you, young man? And I'm like, oh, I don't say crap, but I said crap right then. And he goes, I was like, I don't know. He goes, come up here. You're a Bible school student. And I had just started Bible school. So I obviously I'm connected to the vine, right? I'm connected to Jesus. And he says, what is the Lord saying to you? And I'm walking up to him, and I'm just like, oh, Lord, come on, you got to share. And sometimes God has grace on us, because at that moment he did. And I felt like he told me something. And he's like, that's right on, young man. That is what the Lord is saying. We need to be ready in season and out of season for God to speak to us that way. It's called a green edge about us. I love the smell of brown leaves or dead leaves when they're burning. Colorado Springs, can you do that here? I don't think you can. It's so dry here. But back in Missouri, we used to burn leaves all the time. I mean, everywhere you go in the fall, you could smell burning leaves. I thought it was a great smell. But the thing is, When your life of worship, I better just read it. I love the smell of brown leaves burning. But like those leaves, I'm in a kind of a strange mood today. Like those leaves, when your life, there we go. When your life of worship is for yourself and not for his glory, instead of burning with the fire of the Holy Spirit, you're just burning. You're just burning up, burning out. Jesus never burned out. He never ran out. He never ran out of power to give to others. Look at Luke chapter 5, verse 15 through 16. It's on the screen in the NIV version. And he had a secret to his not burning out. It's kind of a big secret, so don't tell a lot of people about this because I don't want a lot of people to know this, or everyone's going to start acting like Jesus. How terrible would that be, okay? Just getting your attention in case you weren't listening. It says this. Yet the news of it, he'd just been healing people. He'd been praying for people. He'd been doing miracles. And it says, the news about him spread all the more. Oh, great. So that the crowds of people that came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. So there's all kinds of people coming to him to be healed. And what Jesus did, here's the secret, verse 16. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places to pray. Yet the news spread and the people started coming, but Jesus, verse 16 of Luke 5, often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. I've heard, I would say a billion, but that's way too many. I've not heard a billion sermons on this, but I have heard a million on withdrawing to a quiet place, to a lonely place, to your closet, to your secret place, to your prayer room. I've heard messages and messages and messages about this is how you spend time with God. This is how you bear fruit. But what often happens when I hear these messages, the Bible says we need to hear and keep hearing and keep hearing, so I should just keep listening to them, and you should too. That's why podcasts are great. You can hear the best preachers in the whole world. Just keep re-listening. But what often happens is you'll hear it, and it'll go right out the other side. It'll stay for a while. It might even stay for 3 days or 3 weeks or 3 months, but then it goes out the other side. Maybe because it didn't land on good soil, I don't know. But, oh, Lord, I pray that you would let us be people who are fruitful, that would experience fruitfulness in our life, that would understand how to be connected to you. John 15, Jesus is getting ready. It's a famous passage in the Bible, John 15. Everybody knows, and I'm going to read it in a minute. That's a sneak peek at what it is. We're going to read it in the Message version. You can leave it up there. That's perfect. So they know where we're going. That's going to be in the Message version because it's a little bit different to maybe get your attention if you've heard it so many times. I'm the vine, you're the branches. I am the vine, you sing the songs, you know the thing. But Jesus is going on his way to die, right? He's going to the garden. It's a fruit garden. I think it's olives, probably. I think they went to the Mount. They went to the Garden of Gethsemane. He's with his friends. They're all going there to pray. And on his way to pray, right before he dies, right, he shares John 15 with them. It shows us the formula. You're like, a formula? Yes. The formula to live a fruitful life is found in this passage. Yes, we don't look for formulas in our religion. You don't go for formulas in relationship with Jesus. But here's the formula. Here is what you do. And I would say the King of Kings gives us the King of Keys to a fruitful life here. You're wondering why Jesus is boring. You're wondering why living for Jesus is, it's okay. I don't feel fully alive. I'm wondering what my problem is. I wish I was more like that person or that person. But instead, I'm like that person, and it's really a downer because I look at Jesus as a downer. I look at church as a downer. I look at worship, definitely downer. I don't like worshiping. I just don't seem to connect. Yeah, exactly. Here's the formula. It's hard to find in the Bible. Actually, it's not hard to find in the Bible, and most people know it. The biggest challenge with this, John 15, is not in reading it and knowing it. It's in applying it. Applying it is doing it in your life. John 15, the problem is doing it in your life. Elijah, how's it going, man? Are you tired? I just went to Elijah's concert last night. Usually, what time does the concert start? Like 7? Is that a good time? 8, 10:30? Is that a time for a concert to start? That's when his concert started. I went to it, but I left. And you were still there giving autographs and stuff, probably, like getting pictures and stuff. But you're with me? You're still with me? Here's the key. The king of all the keys to fruitful life is right here, John 15. Says this. It's applying this to your life is the hard thing. It says this, I am the real vine. It's talking, Jesus is talking. My father's the farmer, if you want to call it that, okay? He cuts off every branch of me that doesn't bear grapes. Every branch that is grape bearing, he prunes back so that it will bear even more. Maybe it's a question answered here of why is this happening to me? Now, I don't want to say that God's the reason bad things happen to you. That I don't believe that at all. I really don't. But some things that happen to you, I think God's like, yep, I'm going to just allow this because it's a little pruning process for them. It caused you to be humbled, didn't it? It caused you to be more surrendered to me. You know, there's people that'll come to church. It's, I was going to say it's hilarious, but it's not. It's kind of sad. But they'll come, and the only time they come is when life is not going well. All of a sudden, they started to be pruned, and God started to, like, work on them because things were going well, and their garden was probably just nice to look at, but there wasn't a lot of fruit happening. And so then they say, oh, I don't need church per se right now. I'll come back when I do need it. And then they start living, and then the farmer comes, or the vine dresser, and they start pruning the different things in your life. Oh, I need God again. Where am I? And they come back, and that's a little side note, but you are already pruned. So he says, and every branch that is grape bearing, he prunes back so that it'll bear even more. You are already pruned back by the message I have spoken. He's making a point that they're probably a little, but that there's still some pruning that was going to happen to Peter. There was some pruning that was going to happen to Judas. It just didn't work out so good. There's some pruning that's going to happen to a lot of those guys after this. But he says, live in me, you guys. I know you're going to need my advice, so live in me. Make your home in me, just as I do in you. In other words, we need each other. We need each other in this because it's going to get hard. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. It's not that deep. Just like the fruit makes, just like the vine makes fruit by being connected, by being planted, you need to be planted too so that you can bear fruit. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation, intimate and organic, that's message version talking, the harvest is sure to be abundant. You're sure to have some fruit in your life. You're sure to feel alive. You're sure to act alive. You're sure to enjoy being a Christian because you'll be connected to me. Separated, however, you won't produce a darn thing. Anyone who separates from me is, just in case I didn't summarize it, I'll just say it again. He says, anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up like the leaves in Missouri and burned. I want to title this message at the end of the message today. The message title, and would you come up and play some music for us as we close? I want to give some challenges. I want to title the message today, Roots. Roots are so important. This is a game changer for you if you are trying to figure out what's wrong. This is your end game. This is your answer. Roots are your answer to brown edges. Good roots will cause the plant to come back to life. And this graphic that we see on the screen behind us is kind of like an 80s vibe graphic. It's on purpose. I was an 80s teenager. This is definitely an 80s font. This is the way I learn. It's by visual things. And it inspires me. I was definitely an 80s teenager. And the 80s were part of my roots. They were part of my roots. The graphic hints that a life fully alive is dependent upon roots, because roots often determine your fruits in your life. If you forget everything else, there you go. Remember that. Sunday school teacher told me it a long time ago. Roots often determine your fruits. If there's no fruit, there's probably no root. Roots don't take years and years to grow. You can set your roots today. And that leads me to a couple of things I want to say right now. Going back to our first love is going back to our roots. Revelation said, don't forsake your first love. When we remember why we started this whole thing, Jesus kind of changed me, kind of fixed me, kind of helped me. You start to remember, oh, that's what I'm about. I'm about Jesus. And I want you to bow your heads today in this room. You don't necessarily have to close your eyes. You don't necessarily even have to bow your heads. But I want you to get into a posture of just listening for a minute. Because God wants to read all of our mail right now. And there's a couple of things I want to prophesy over you. I feel they're straight from the Holy Spirit to you. I'm very careful when I say something like that I'm not going to make up something of myself, but there's some groups of people in this room. And I might say to someone today that you may have roots for Jesus from long ago that you barely even remember being planted. I want you to know they're there. That's why you're here today. And I prophesy that they're just about ready to sprout up in due season in your life and produce fruit. Those roots are going to start to produce fruit. You're not hopeless. It was there on purpose from back one day. And as John prophesied to the church in Revelation, like I said, someone in the room, I want you to hear this. Return to your first love. Well, I've been a Christian my whole life. I've never gotten off track. I've never got addicted to anything. I've never backslid. But maybe I forgot my first love. And I want to say to you today, return to your first love. I have other things to say, but I felt I need to take a moment. Return to your first love. Someone in the room is going to rekindle a fire for Jesus that you once had. But someone else never really had that fire. They found their first love, but they never found the fire. They never found the excitement. They never found the abundance. They never found the aliveness in it. And I want to say to you, someone today is going to rekindle the fire for Jesus you once had. And someone is going to find a new definition of what that means. Maybe you wanted to have what you saw in others, but you never got a chance to experience it. Or you never had the understanding to grow it up in your life. You just, you knew that it's supposed to be cultivated, but you didn't know how to cultivate it. And so you've been on this journey of a just kind of level. And God wants to say, the fire is going to grow in you as you remember your first love. The roots are there. The seed was planted, maybe simply through the prayer of a Sunday school teacher or the prayer of a mom or a youth pastor, whatever it was. I understand that this is not including everyone in the room, but this is for somebody in the room today. The seed was planted, and that was enough because it's going to start to grow. There's a young person in the room. You can call yourself young if you want to take this. Like, I'll be, okay, that'll be me. I feel young. But there is a young person in the room today. Today is your day to discover for the very first time that God has a plan for your life, for your tree. He's got a plan for it. He's going to cause your tree to be fruitful. You've heard of origin stories. This is your origin story today. This is your Genesis. This is your beginning of your walk with a vibrant and alive walk with Jesus. Your roots will be traced back to this moment. Would you just now definitely keep your eyes closed for a minute? If you're in the room today and you're one of these categories, and you would say, yes, I need to return to my first love. How about just that category right there? I knew it at one time, or I've never really seen it benefit me. I've never seen fruitfulness in my life because of my first love. But I'm, it's time that I see that. Would you just raise your hand if that's you? Amen, amen, amen. Just put it right back down again. No one else needs to see it but you and God. The Bible says that when we acknowledge him before men, that he acknowledges us before his Father. Sometimes we need to make a step of ourselves. If you're here in this room today and you are ready to start your origin story, you say, well, maybe I started it, but it never felt like it was real yet. Jesus wants you to come into a friendship with him that will be alive. He's going to plant your roots immediately today in this room. Right now, he's going to do that. If you are here, just shoot your hand up and say, I need to start that today. Just raise your hand up. Don't be shy. Real high. Amen. Put it right back down again. Amen. Who else? Amen. Put it right back down again. That's fine. Amen. Amen. I saw that. Who else? Who else? You need to start that today. You need to start that fire. I promise you. Everybody look at me. Everybody can open up your eyes. I promise you, today will be your day. You will see a difference, my brother, my sister. You will see a difference. You will see God connect with you, and it will become alive for you. You might say, well, this, I'm not even going to do that. I'm going to go on. I'll say this. Your job today, as you leave here, your challenge today might be to hear the Holy Spirit's voice to you. I hope that would be all of us. About how you will heighten a new season of fruitfulness in your personal life. Who could stand to have a heightened fruitfulness in your life? Would you raise your hand up real high? Amen. Raise it up even high and say, I need a more fruitfulness in my life. Amen, Brother Andy. I believe for it. Do you believe that he's going to give you more fruit? I'm going to close with this. Rarely do I share stories from my childhood. In the spirit of going back to our roots and to Jesus as our first love, I wanted to tell you about a season of fruitfulness in my life. I'm not going into a big thing. It's just a real quick thing. When I was just about 13 years old, and you'll have these seasons of your life where God will do things. And I believe for someone, I need to share this because you're going into that kind of season. We started a group at our school. I was 13 years old. We started a group called JAM. Is that such a cool name? Liv, is that a cool name? JAM, it's not. It was dorky then, too. The thing was, it was a, what do you call those? Acronym, acrostic, for Jesus and... Oh, you got it. That's right. Jesus and me. I was like, you guys, we're not going to do well with this. We're trying to, like, reach our school for Jesus. And Jesus and me sounds like dorky. The thing was, Jesus was honored by the name, certainly. And it was on every locker in the school. Every Friday, JAM, Jesus, and we spelled it out. Jesus and me, the J-A-M was bigger than the Jesus and me. And I thought all we do is get made fun of. But we were in a season with a group of us that prayed together, that were connected to the vine. We were fruitful. And when you're fruitful, anything works. And JAM worked for us. We started meeting at school, and then we didn't have a classroom big enough. And we did something that sounds like they do it a lot now, but they didn't do small groups a lot then. We decided we're going to start meeting in homes. You start your own JAM at your home. And we had these groups all over St. Charles, huge basement parties of kids worshiping Jesus and praying together. And when we come together for a JAM meeting, you realize, wow, there is a lot of people in these groups. Probably almost the whole school in a JAM group. And it came out of a season where I was inspired by a leader. Not even that cool of a leader, but he was a leader in my life. His name was Don. He was a nerd. I'm not a nerd. I would never be a nerd. But yeah, he was probably like me. And he inspired us to put down our roots using John 15. And so I spent hours in my bedroom praying, reading the Bible, journaling, meditating on it, repeating it, memorizing it, listening to worship music. Psalm 1 was my verse. He is like a tree planted by streams of water. He yields its fruit in season. His leaf does not wither. I'd walk around my room. And when you're connected, you see fruit happen in your life. And I just want to close with this. This was the groundwork for the roots I have today. That was my origin of when worship and giving and serving became an upper in my life and not a downer. And would you all stand? Would you all get up? We're going to close today. I remember seeing the fruit of the Spirit manifest in my life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. And it was not a secret. It was just spending time with Jesus. God spoke to you whatever you needed to hear today. But would you pray with me as we close? And I just want to ask God, would you help us to do this? Would you look at the scripture before I close with this prayer? John 15:4. It's in the NIV version this time. This is kind of the heart of the whole John 15. Remain in me, then I'll remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. It's just one thing. Lord, would you help us in our selfishness, in our American lifestyle, in our privileged way of living, that we all have things we want to do. It's for us, for us, for us. That we would remain in you. That we would remember our first love. That we would rekindle a fire for Jesus. That we would hear you when you whisper to us. That we would have a life that is alive and overflowing with fruit everywhere we go. Just because we acknowledge that you are there. Would you just say that to Jesus? Say this: Jesus, I acknowledge you in every area of my life. I need you. Help me to remain in you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening today. Remember, God wants to do the impossible through you and me. We encourage you to become a deeper part of what we are doing. Visit us at newsongcs.com and become a giver to the New Song Foundation and an investor in bringing this message of Jesus across the world. God bless you.